Steve and Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about ogre or sympathetic business owner.
I have to share, that was not the first version of this title that I came up with.
There's a lot of words you can describe what a business owner, a lot of adjectives and
exactly
adverbs.
That you feel like sometimes, and I know we're going to talk about it more. I'm actually, it was very easy to make notes on this one.
Hey, it's really hard sometimes because you work with people all day long to be, you just run out of patience at some point, and nobody wants that. We've all worked for people who have no patience and
exactly.
Who are ogres. Mm-hmm. And we've all worked for people who are just way too nice and nothing gets done. So it's way more difficult than it sounds to be that person in between, I think. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
Maybe we'll vent about it, too.
Maybe.
In Jill's case. Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Travis asks, hello all, is it possible I haven't thought of this all the way through? It's possible I haven't thought of this all the way through. However, when comparing Redfin data from the Redfin Data Center to data from Realtor.com Data Center.
It's a good question.
This is great. Their spreadsheet showing data by zip. I get wildly different days on market for each market. Often more than double for Realtor to Redfin. If Redfin and Realtor are both tied to the same MLSs, then why would this data differ? Does anyone have further insight into how these sites compute their data? Anyone else have the same experience?
I have. Yes, I know the answer to this.
Great.
I know the answer to this question.
Yay!
Realtor.com
is... You usually do.
Realtor.com is owned and operated by the National Association of Realtors, and the whole country is made up of like several hundred MLSs, and they're all like they're all independently operated in separate little areas of the country. Some of them are super rural, some of them are like really urban, like Los Angeles or Phoenix. Some really urban areas have two. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like sports franchises. It doesn't make a lot of sense. So. But Realtor.com, at all, you have to be, if you're part of the MLS or any MLS, you have to be, you pay dues to the big guys, the feds, let's say. So all the stuff rolls up to Realtor.com, period.
Right.
Redfin is its own little independent company. I think they might even be publicly traded, or if they're not, that's probably part of their exit strategy.
Okay.
And certain MLSs participate to Redfin and certain don't. I don't know what their coverage percentages are. So what's happening, more than likely, is it Travis?
Yes.
Yeah, Travis. You're looking in zip codes that aren't collecting correct or complete, let's say, data from Redfin. It's as simple as that. I would heavily rely on Realtor. That said, the auditor, accounting auditor in me, you know, you want to have checks and balances. So
right.
I've cross-checked it several times. Not really recently, and come out with plus or minus 5%. So my guess is that, and you're, because I know you're from Texas, there's probably some kind of split MLS, you know, zip code thing. I don't know.
Okay.
I would check it, just to be sure, I would check it like in Oregon or something, or check it in Los Angeles and see if the numbers come out. And you know, maybe Dallas. Like, I would think right in Dallas, it would. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's a good question. Today's topic, ogre or sympathetic business owner. This is the meat of the show.
I'm sorry. This totally cracks me up because this is not the title that I came up with first. Mine started with a B. And so anyway, because I felt like that. I was having to...
Synonymous with the female dog.
Exactly. So
we have to keep our rated G rating on this
exactly
podcast.
Exactly. Like floor play. For those of you who remember a couple weeks or months ago, we had that that came up. Was that on one of our member calls?
Mm-hmm.
Or no, I think
no,
it was
in the show.
Yeah, it was a show. That's right.
Jill stretches the limits.
Thank you.
I crossed the limit on our weekly call. I grossly cross the limits of that, because we don't need a G rating there.
That's true, because it's a closed environment. So I was feeling this because we, one day when we sat down to, often you do the topics, but this day you said, hey, you want to help me real quick write the topics of these shows? And I was coming off of some meetings where, man, I just had to be that person. I had to take off my, hey, let's all have a good time and get our work done and win together hat. And I had to go, this is not working for me and things are not getting done. And now I've had it, you know? And so I felt like that B word. So I sat down, I'm like, God, this sucks. It sucks sometimes. I don't want to be that person, but sometimes you have to be that person. And it can be hard. What?
Go ahead.
What's easy for you?
No. I have a lot to say about this.
Okay.
But I want you to go ahead.
Okay.
Because this show is written about you.
Oh, thank you.
Or it's about you, not me.
Thank you. It can be hard. And I personally don't enjoy doing that. I know some people do. Some people are like, oh, I love being the boss because I get to call the shots and I get to, you know, be whoever I want. No one can say anything. That's not my nature. And I don't like doing it. So when I have to do it, I'm uncomfortable. But unfortunately, I'm getting good at it. So, but in the perfect world, I only have to do that. You know, it's like with the kids are little. Hopefully, you only have to do it a couple times and then they get it.
Yep.
And it stops. And it takes time to develop these skills. That's my last comment before you jump in is, you know, yeah, it's hard. You don't want to do it sometimes, or maybe you do. And for some people, it's hard to develop the skills. And I think some people can never develop those skills. So,
yeah.
Go ahead.
We have a show coming up later in the week called There's No Place for Emotion in Business. And getting angry at employees or sympathetic for that matter, is showing emotion or having an emotion. And so I was telling our administrator recently, I had this conversation. You know, I've worked in a small company since the late 90s I've been at the top of the company. So I've had, I don't know, maybe 15 crews. You know, and the one we have, honestly, by far right now is the most productive, and we have the most fun and generates the most revenue on all accounts, land and Land Academy and everything else. But there's still stuff that goes on. And I have to say, you know, the less emotion that there is, the better. But there are certain people, when you have 6 or 7 people in a couple of offices, stuff goes on. You know, there always is a shining star. And then there's the person that's just always kind of straggling along. And, you know, it's very difficult to balance between, you know, how many times do I have to ask this person to do X before I become, you know, in my case, an ogre, you know. And here's what we have going for us. There's two of us.
Mm-hmm.
So, because Jill will run out of patience. I mean, when we started Land Academy itself, it's before Land Academy, it was just Jill and I, and she had an assistant and I had an assistant. We were buying and selling land like nobody's business.
Right.
Thousands of properties a year. And, you know, then we started Land Academy. I don't know why. We started Land Academy because...
I don't know why. I love it.
We started Land Academy to develop more buyers for the properties that we were constantly acquiring.
Right.
What ended up happening is after
grew into this whole big
24
thing.
Months or so, yeah, it became this big thing.
Who knew?
So we chose to give it its own staff and a bunch of stuff, and so that was it was a great decision.
Mm-hmm.
But along the way, you know, Joe had a whole hippie approach to this in the beginning.
It's true.
And it was just us in the office, so there's nothing to manage.
It's true.
Well, and I was the ogre, and now we've completely reversed roles. Jill's out after like 3 years of...
That's true. It takes
3 years of this.
A long time, a very long time for me to run out of patience. But when I do...
Single biggest thing that Jill and I talk about when we sit down and say, you know, it's not revenue, it's not marketing, it's not like, are we buying enough property? Are we selling enough property? Why isn't this property selling? We never talk about that stuff ever.
Right.
We talk about why can't we get X... to
understand.
Ex-employee understand that this is the process here and that this is important and this isn't important.
Right.
And I don't mean X one person, I mean, you know, it's just people. And it's not, mm-hmm. I'm not picking on anybody at all. We have the greatest crew ever. It's a huge, huge way bigger struggle than anybody could possibly understand. You know, right. Every time I go into something new, I'm like, well, these three things are going to be a real challenge. And we got all this other stuff licked, and it's always wrong.
It's true.
So Jill will blow her top sometimes, and I got to pull her out of the environment and smooth it over, and vice versa.
Oh, yeah.
All this week is like owning a business week, I think, isn't it?
Something like, business owner week. Yeah. So this will be fun. A lot of this is because we're bringing these up now because our members are becoming, their companies are growing and they're adding staff and they're now faced with the things that we're faced with. So, and it's important to talk about because you need, the bottom line is the bottom line.
Yeah.
So that's the whole point here.
We're all here for money.
Right. Let's as you grow your business, you're not doing it because you want to have a charity and take people off the streets that don't have a job. Right?
That would not work.
Could you imagine?
No.
You need a job? I will make one for you. That's usually not how it goes. It's like, I need to hire someone to do X because I want to grow my business and I need to find that person. And it's hard. Even the hiring process is hard, the training is hard. And now just the running the operation.
Yeah.
That's just what right now today is we're talking about the operation. Things are going to happen. You know, you have to be ready for it. That's the thing. Steven's so good at and he really means it when he says this. You got to care less.
Yeah.
And it's true, which means you can't get too hung up if someone's not doing it exactly the way you want to, but at least it's getting done.
You can't get hung up at all.
Exactly.
I think, you know, this whole week we'll talk about all about this, but the best people that I work with are people that know what's expected of them and they go do it. And I don't know about it. And it just gets done and it gets done on time and it gets done reasonably well. That's where business owners get really hung up because let's face it, you know, a business owner, you can't grow if you're going to do everything.
Right.
You can't grow if you buy the staples for the stapler.
Yeah.
But whoever's buying the staples for the stapler isn't going to do it as well as you, as exactly how you want them to do it.
Right.
So forget about the staples.
Right.
Forget about all the transactions, that and everything in between. Forget about all the transactions that you're buying and selling below $10,000. Other people can do that. You've given them all the tools that they need. You've given them all the encouragement that they need. So theoretically, it's just, you got to kick them out of the nest and let them go.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like it should be logical and easy, but it's just not. When there's people involved, it's not easy.
It's hard.
I will tell you this. When I started all this, there were no computers.
Mm-hmm.
There were no cell phones.
Right.
Can you imagine trying to find a piece of property, a rural vacant piece of property, looking at a plat map?
Exactly. And then properly describe it?
You know the maps? Most of the listeners don't know. You know those big atlases that you have?
Where I was just a Thomas
like a
guide.
Road map, and you just, that's all the all the streets in the whole state. We had all 50 of those states for those.
Right.
Somebody released, it was like DeLorme. Remember that? Remember the company, that map
company? Yeah,
they released a DVD topographical thing where you so we could find property that way. But it was just, now there's computers.
Isn't that amazing?
Just amazing, actually.
I do remember, too, that when I started with you, I remember still giving driving directions, telling people where to turn to find a certain property.
Yep.
And so getting into it
now,
it's just like, here you go, ping, and they could pop it in their phone. It's great.
And then Google Earth came out, and it just changed the world. Changed our world, like, overnight.
Exactly.
Or when I found out about it. I remember just a whole weekend obsessing on Google Earth, like, this is going to change our lives.
Right.
And it did.
It did. It's wonderful.
Anyway, I wish there was a silver bullet or a magic button where you could say, yep, I'm not going to be a DICX at work. There's been several times where I've pulled Jill out of her office saying, "You, this has got to stop. These people are doing a good job. You're going nuts."
Thanks. It sounds like you're throwing me under the bus.
No. Hey, as many times as I've done that, you've done that for me.
Thank you.
Everybody has their days.
Exactly.
Anything else?
Nope. I think we covered it well. I guess so. My only last point is here, you're not alone.
Yeah. Hey, give us a good story about a great boss that you've had and a terrible one that you've had.
Oh.
And why?
Oh, all right. Well, you know what? A great boss that I had was one that, and I try to find like-minded people. Like in our community, we have like-minded people. I try to hire staff, at least the ones that report directly to me. I try to find like-minded people. So my favorite boss, her name was Terry, and we were so on the same page. She just let me run. I knew what my goals were. I knew what my numbers were had to be, and I knew what my schedule was. You know what? And I never pushed it. And I always went to her ahead of time. We were like, everything was within reason, and I always set my numbers. And she kind of just let me run. It was great. So she didn't have to babysit me, and I didn't need babysitting. So there's a thing too. Some people need to be managed, and some people don't. I'm definitely one of those. Please don't micromanage me. Know that, and I'll kill it. If you don't, I will kill it. And that's how we operate. So Terry is my favorite boss. Trying to think of my least favorite boss. I've developed great connections with seriously everyone that I've worked for. There was one person I worked with though that had a horrible, horrible experience, and she had a little more seniority than me. So she was kind of above me, like, so could kind of call a few of the shots, but she wasn't directly my boss. But shucks, what was her name? Sherry. Oh my gosh, I'll never forget Sherry. And she just didn't like me for some reason. I don't know why.
She probably didn't like anybody.
I think that's true. And she would take it upon, I would always get the worst schedule and the worst whatever. And I remember I would go to my boss and I'd say, I need help with Sherry. She's like, and she would try to help me. And no matter what, I remember going out and buying books. I went and upped my Dale Carnegie list of books. Seriously, not kidding.
That's the greatest thing about you, Joe. You take responsibility to try to fix it instead of like blaming her.
I did. You know? Exactly. That's what I did.
I mean it. That's a huge compliment.
I thought, I can't change her, but I can change
me. That's your best attitude ever.
Thank you. And I went at it going, okay, what do I need to do about my attitude? So that's exactly what I did. And it worked out fine. So in the very bitter end, I at least developed more skills to go, you know what? That's just Sherry. And honestly, that's the way I am now too. You know that. Me, when I'm driving around the car and someone cuts me off, I don't blame them. I just go, you know what? It sucks to be them. I'm going to be over here. I'm going to let them have their way. Just get out of the way and
let's face it.
Do my thing.
You're listening to the show because you've either experienced all of this stuff times 80, and you want to have your own real estate company and make a ton of money and not have to report to anyone, or you've already done it.
It's true. Or you're really, really bored. Just kidding. I was waiting for that one.
Well, you've done it again. You spent another 15 minutes or so listening to the Land Academy show. Join us next time for the 3 business owner essentials. They're not what you think.
And we answer your question posted on our online community at landinvestors.com. It is free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
Well, now in the after show, can I please ask you about yours? Who was your favorite boss and worst boss?
The best boss I had, favorite boss, was the one at when I was buying and selling nursing homes as a vice president for a publicly traded company in Arizona. And that was just, I had three bosses. They were the owners of the company, and we took the company public. They just, I was young, really, really young. Took me under their wing and really prepped me for what it is to own a company, what it is to get financing, just all the big basic mechanics, which all led to buying and selling land eventually. Mm-hmm. The worst boss I ever had was in commercial real estate in Detroit. And this is right out of school, right out of college. He was just this large, Irish, angry. Then I think a lot of it was the sign of the times. These guys are coming off the 60s and 70s, and somebody probably did it to them when they were young. So
they thought that's how you manage people.
Well, they just thought that's a whole different culture back there. They just thought that punishment was the way people learn.
Ah.
And being treated really poorly, it was just like a fraternity mentality. So,
like a hazing?
Yeah, and I knew it was all bad. Like, I grew up with all that in that culture, and that's why I left as soon as I could.
I'm sorry. It's safe.
No,
you're
fine.
In a safe place now. I promise. No one's gonna.
I'm not scarred for life or anything like that. I mean, I knew what was happening.
Cigarette burn on your hand.
Actually, it would have been a cigar with him.
Oh, God.
It was a time when we would drink and smoke in our offices.
That's awesome. That's
no,
great.
No, it's okay. I knew while it was happening. I'm like, oh, it's first commission check, I'm out of here. And that's what happened.
I'm glad, Stephen. Well, you know what? Admitting there's a problem is a first step towards recovery. Just kidding.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. Anyway, just having fun. Hey, well, wherever you're watching or wherever you're listening, please rate us there. We are Stephen Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.